The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So there can be only one question for you this week, Christopher, and that is, how was the Beyoncé concert?
It was top three best concerts I've ever been to in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I say that because, one, she is, in my opinion, I think the most beautiful person alive. Like, when it starts with her coming out in like a long dress, and she's like, right off the top is just like, hi, like, thank you all for being here. And also like, I'm just going to remind everyone how good of a singer I am. Like, so be ready. Like, there's zero, like, it's not like Summer Renaissance is the first song and she's coming out, or like, it's not like Act One Renaissance, like at the beginning. It's like her singing some of her older songs, doing ballads. Like, this is like the ballad portion.
And she's
right at the top.
Wow.
She's like, let me just remind you that I'm a great singer, and just starts like singing all these ballads, and you're like blown away by how great her voice is.
Very Celine Dion of her. Go on.
Correct. And then every single moment of that, every human being that went on that stage, camera crew included, was choreographed like to the hair, like to the T. It was so, the production value is unparalleled. The LED screen behind her is apparently like the most state of the art LED screen.
Right.
Like in can never be made. And I think it's called, Hassan will literally shoot me in the face whenever I say this, because he told me what it was called 9 million times. I believe it's called, it's like vanishing LED screen. Because you can like see through it or something. I don't know. I just know that it costs like the screen that she had was like over $1 million probably.
Okay.
And that's just the screen that you're watching the concert on. Do you know what I mean? It's like not even any part of the actual real concert.
Right.
It was so... she is so good at what she does, and she's been doing it since she was 15 years old, like professionally. Right. So she should be like, imagine watching someone that's done something for 30 years do something that they're really good at.
Don't you see that when you look at me doing this podcast every week?
Yes, correct.
I think it must be the same. So it's, you were exactly thinking of me when she walked out there.
I was thinking exactly of you.
Appreciate that.
But even just when she would turn to walk up back from like when, like she would like go out into like the pit to like sing to people, and then she would come back, and even her walking back to her mark in the middle of the stage, instead of that being like a part where you don't see her and you just see like the backup dancers dance, and then she like to distract you, her moving from the pit to the mark in the middle of the stage was an entire choreographed part of the show.
where the camera crew was shooting her the opposite way they normally would be, bringing her back to her mark. And she would, like, her taking a step is the most beautiful piece of art I've ever seen in my life. And she, when she gets intense and is performing, it's it's unparalleled. It really is. When she gets into her rap or like more rappy songs, like, and not that she can't sing and she's not a great singer, but like when she gets into the like Beyonce, like when she did Formation, people were losing their minds. Like, it was so good. When she was doing a lot of the more rap songs, like, it was, I was like, I'm watching a master. It truly was. The worst part of the entire concert was the end, whenever she gets on the disco ball horse and it floats in the air. And then she gets off of the disco ball horse and is flying around on strings like Jesus, like through the concert and saying like, thank you to the band. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? It was the only part that I was like, what is this? Every other part was like so beautifully choreographed and just everything that happened between. And again, like the camera people were a part of that. Like every shot was planned out. There was not one second that they were like, oh, we're just going to like do whatever we want to do. It was so masterfully done. I will never like, unless I go to another one of her concerts, I'll never see that ever again.
It sounds like they may, and this is a guess, that they may for this concert have used a little bit more prep time than what we do before we're recording this podcast. What are your thoughts?
Just a little bit.
Having not seen the concert. I have one more important question.
Okay.
Were you relieved when Blue Ivy came out and everyone all at once realized she's now finally starting to look like Beyonce
and not Jay-Z? Yes. I was so happy to see that she looks now exactly like her.
Yeah.
Not even just like, oh, this is her child. Like, go look at the writings on the wall and look at Beyonce, like in the middle, in the bottom of that, the four of them. It is Blue Ivy's face.
I feel like all gay people especially exhaled and they were like, thank God I do not have to play pretend for the next 30 years.
Yes.
With this one.
That she doesn't look like Jay-Z, the ugliest person I've ever seen.
Because, I mean, yeah, and look, no, you know, it must be the cash because it ain't your face. Even Beyonce said that lyrically.
Yes.
So she, I think, also wouldn't have used that lyric had she not looked at Blue Ivy and thought, okay, it's turning.
It's
the face
time
is
now,
turning to me, so now I can sing about how ugly Jay-Z is.
And she is the most beautiful person in the whole world. Like, I will
You've
say it
mentioned
again.
That.
Like, I was beyond blown away by her beauty. There was a point where that she sings like Virgo's Groove and all those like more sexual songs, and she's coming out of a half clamshell. And she's laying on, and it is shot like Soul Train. Like, it has like the like light, the lights make like X's. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm,
like the lens flary X's of the, it's shot very Soul Train-esque. And she's laying in a half clamshell in that like black, like the hands outfit where the like black hands are like covering like this.
I've seen it on
social. She's laying on her side in a half clamshell. And I was like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. She's so good. And when she turns her attention onto the camera, it's like you're like captivated.
She is one of the greatest entertainers of all time.
Of all time.
All around.
Like, but like, yeah. And I've always loved her. And like, there were times when I faltered. Like, when the elevator video came out, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, you're supposed to be like this strong woman and you're just like letting your, like, you're just like not even involved in your sister screaming at your husband. Like, there was a part where I lost a lot of respect for her. And then it took a while for me to get back there. And like, not for nothing, Renaissance is like a ball, like is like celebrating ball culture. She had a full ball at the very end of the concert with all of these ball performers that were amazing. And a lot of her dancers came in and were like,
yeah,
it was crazy. It was crazy. It was so good. It was so well done. It was everything. It was truly like, we didn't even spend that much on tickets. I would have paid double for what we saw.
Let me ask you, what did you expect her to do when she got out of that elevator with Solange and JC?
I don't know, but at least go in the middle of them and be like, stop doing this. Not stand there as her sister like hits her husband with like a shoe.
Yeah, but see, I took that as
no. But she was like,
wanted.
"I want him to." Yeah,
she was like, "You do it because I don't want to break a nail."
Well, that's
beat
true.
His ass, Solange.
Like, yeah, no, you're right.
That's what sisters do.
Speaking of, you know, obviously, friend of the show Rebecca Bregman came with us to the show, and she When I tell you, we were laughing the entire time because all we kept doing was going, is that Tina Knowles? And kept pointing to random people.
To see if the paramedics were going to lift her out to get a better, because she was in the wrong seat.
Yes. All we would do is point to like some random person, like walking, like a little ant walking, like, you know, down like the middle row. And I go, is that Tina Knowles? And then we kept going, is that so Oprah funny. Winfrey? We were like laughing so hard. We're such idiots. But the concert was amazing. She, I mean, her voice is out of this. It's out of, it's the best, one of the best voices to ever exist. Like, it was insane. It was so good.
I never hear.
And this is
the never, like about the actual voice. You don't really.
She doesn't
like,
sing anymore. That's why.
What do you mean?
She doesn't sing. She doesn't sing anymore. Count. Think of like Love on Top. Like she's actually singing.
Mm-hmm.
Like she doesn't sing at all in any of these songs on Renaissance.
You mean she's just like speaking her way through it?
She's like rap. It's like rap. Like she's rapping. Mm. Like it's technically rap if we have to like really break it down.
Yeah.
It's not, you must not know about me. You must not, like, that's not what's happening on this album. You know what I mean?
Right.
She's like, it's a rap. Like she's a rapper now, which is fine. But that's why no one's like talking about her singing voice. Cause she had to come out and sing all her old songs to be like, remember when I would sing? And like, you know what I mean? And we were like, yes, I love this. Like, please sing.
Do you think that's why she started off with it and also started off with the stuff that's most vocally challenging? Because
yeah, 100%.
When you are hopping around there, I mean, you know, I can barely make it through the third number in my shows, and all I do is literally stand in one spot, literally. Begging the yeah. Lord to not let me faint.
Yeah.
By the time that third number comes around, my uvula is in the audience.
Well, and she was in like a gown, which she's not in for the rest of the show because she's like dancing the whole time. It was all the like non-dance numbers. So she did it before before the background dancers come on. She does it in a gown that's beautiful, and she just stands there and sings. And I like it because it's one of the more vocally challenging songs. And right. like even when she sang Love on Top, like in the middle, in like towards the end of the concert, she didn't. Then
she has the audience sing it.
She has the audience sing all of the like key changes, like the step ups. And then, and she made it a joke of being like, because towards the end, she's like, like she starts like being like, oh, like, did you hit that note? Like, and it was funny. And then she's like, wow, that was beautiful. And then she lets everyone cheer, and then everyone dies down. And then she just goes, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then out of nowhere, an entire band that is hidden until right then basically walks out of a wall, and they start playing the beginning of Crazy in Love, like bum, ba-da, bum, ba-da, bum, and everyone then immediately just goes fucking crazy. It was the best reveal I've ever seen on stage.
Did everyone be quiet when she sang everybody
well,
on
not
mute in energy?
At my show, it was like there was like some people didn't do it, and then people were like upset apparently, but I'm like, oh, who cares?
Fucking New Jersey, man.
Yeah,
fucking
I know, New right? Jersey. There was a rainbow right before we went into the concert. That was great.
I saw that on social media.
And the funniest thing is that like Beyonce's earned like every applause that we've ever given her. Sure. Do you know what I mean? Like rightfully so. Blue Ivy's not earned one of those applauses. And when she came on the stage, people were screaming. Like we were screaming as if like Princess Diana had come back to life. Like, do you know what I mean? Like as if like we were screaming as if like the most famous, every A-list person in America was on the stage at the same time.
Well, she's royalty. Screaming for Princess Charlotte in the UK. That's who she is here.
So funny because it was like, she walked out and was like, hi. Like, she didn't even care that she was there.
She should have been wearing a t-shirt that said Kardashian who? Like, that's what she should, that's the attitude she needs.
Barely even dance. Like, she's not even that good of a, not to be rude.
Well, that was my question. Is she talented? No,
but she doesn't, it doesn't matter because she appeared and we went insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like more crazy than we did at the beginning of the concert when it first started. Do you know what I mean? Like, and everyone was like really excited. It was crazy. And she was like dancing. I mean, she was fine. You know what I mean? But what I will say is that whenever there's a part where they do their whole little dance that everyone has seen on the internet that we all know all the moves to, but there's a point where they both flip around and they give each other like a fist bump. And then Beyonce leaves because she then has to like get on top of a tank to then have a tank like come out
into the
perform on top of it. And Blue then goes down the stage to the front and then is like killing time so her mom can like be strapped into this tank. And it was, there was something about it. And I got very emotional whenever it happened because there was something so beautiful about like, this is what this woman has done for her entire life. And now she's able to actually like share that with her child in a way that like,
right.
what person can do that to like share their like dream of their life with their child?
I wonder if she's a humanoid, actually, now that we're thinking, like now that we're talking about it. I wonder if she is an actual
human being or if she's
what
robot,
maybe she's not. An maybe alien. She's a hybrid human being. Maybe she is the maybe she's the pinnacle star of AI. Yes. That's maybe this was well, the whole the whole point, album is her coming out.
Yeah. At one point there was like lights that like shot up into the air, like the 9/11 memorial. And like Rebecca was like, look, she's calling the aliens. And then we were like dying.
There were people dressed as aliens at the show. Did you see them?
No, but that's really fucking funny.
Yeah. And they went both nights.
Aliens are real, so what can we do?
They are now.
And no one even cares. There's not even anyone's talking about it. No one even cares. They've admitted that they have alien bodies in somewhere.
Because it doesn't matter because we have so many fucking problems. No one cares. No one cares. Literally, they want people to come here and annihilate us so we can start over. Like when people hear there are aliens, they don't doubt it. They're just like, hurry up. That's what I say to the alien. Put us all out of our fucking misery. We're taking too long ourselves. Good Lord.
Yeah. But all this to say, it was a great concert.
I'm glad you had fun. I don't know even like a middling review of it. Not even
it
one.
Was, but because there can't be. You have to be like a super hater if you, because it was so well made that even if you didn't know any of her music, you would be like, wow, that was a great concert.
Right.
Not that there's a human being on this planet that doesn't know one of her songs, but like it was surprised. Great. Speaking of beautiful performances, I think it's time to get to our guests so we can talk about someone doing a beautiful performance at the Waffle House. would you agree?
Sure. I mean, I will agree that is the most ham-handed segue in the 11-year history of this podcast. And I love it. It's my favorite. Let's get into it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We have possibly the funniest person that I know, and without trying.
No. And the funniest person you are all about
to know.
To know.
Yes. Her name is Leanna Inzerillo. She just eloped. I was just showering her with bachelorette fun during the Barbie movie. You've seen it on my Instagram. She's here. She calls herself longtime listener, first time caller.
Wait a second. You just eloped?
I did. I eloped 2 months ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I did not know that fact.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I'm a married woman. So.
Where did you elope?
We actually did it in Niagara Falls. We wore a very old glam.
Oh, the kitsch and the camp. I love it. I love it.
Kitsch camp, and it was the kitschiest and the campiest. But it really was so nice. The park is so beautiful. It really just... it gave all it needed to give.
Leanna was going to come on here and try to fix Leah Michelle. And then someone else that's more connected to Broadway popped up that we need to do an episode with. And that I stole Leah Michelle away from this woman. But instead, a little article came out very recently. And I said, Leanna, Tuesday, meet me on the mic. And we need to discuss this woman because... the single funniest thing that I've ever heard in my entire life was uttered by Leanna Inzerillo about Lana Del Rey. We were talking about Lana Del Rey's Instagram and the thing that she posted, and we were very upset about it. And Leanna said to me, she goes, you know, sometimes when I feel worthless, I just remember that Lana Del Rey has a publicist. Now, if that isn't the most, like, reassuring thing you've ever heard in your entire life, I don't know what is.
Thank you so much for saying that. That really is my crowning achievement comedically, period.
I truly think it was the single funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Thank you so much for saying that.
And the comment stands. The comment stands because...
because she's doing nothing, whoever she is. I looked, I was researching high and low trying to get a name for this person who is...
Lana Del Rey's publicist.
I was dying to know. I think I read an article that she cycled through four.
Okay.
So four of them can't get
past,
it right.
In the past, what, 10 years or so?
That I feel like that's a high turnover.
Yeah. Oh, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. But I'm wondering, because we've really known who she was since what, like 2010, 2012? Like, yes. I mean, once we dive in, we'll decide where to start. But I think her SNL appearance is sort of a good,
yeah, that's a good
place to start. And I think that was in 2012. You know, we also skipped, my favorite part of the podcast is when I get to reveal the middle names of the people we fix. But not only does she have an unusual middle name, she just is a whole different fucking name.
It's like, not even her name at all.
Lana Del Rey, birth name Elizabeth Woolridge Grant.
Scottish.
You're saying that as though we need to hide our wallets when you say Scottish. Do we?
But like, how do you go from Lizzie Woolridge Grant to Lana Del Rey?
I love that.
As a Scotswoman, like, how do you do that? So some in my Lana Del research, as I've been calling it, I am surmising that Lana is a culture vulture, second only to Gwen Stefani. That's been ongoing thread through all of my Lana Del research, is that she is the number two culture vulture in pop music.
Dying at Lana Del research. I can't.
So I was actually researching how she got to become Lana Del Rey from Elizabeth Woolridge Grant, because she was performing as all of these different names. One of them was like Sparkle Jump Rope Star, something Stop. Insane like that. I wish I was joking. I'm Come literally on. 100% serious.
Literally,
and then evidently the reason how she got Lana Del Rey, and good thing we're all in the sitting position because you will need to be seated.
I'm actually standing, but fuck off, Leanne. I'm really
okay.
Short.
Sorry. If you're standing, if you pass out, that's on you. It's not my job to keep you safe.
Yeah, there's a fainting couch behind me. There are two fainting couches.
A little chasse. She got the name when she was visiting Miami and speaking a lot of Spanish with her friends.
No.
Yep.
No, Leanna, no.
I have no comment. I was literally, oh no. And so before that, she was May Jailer, Sparkle Jump Rope Queen, and then Lizzie Grant and the Phenomena. And because she spent, I don't know, a summer in Miami with her friends speaking a lot of Spanish, she was like, of course, Lana Del Rey.
The only thing that would make that story better is if she legally changed her name all of those times, and if she has driver's licenses that say
Sparkle May Jump Jailer Rope Star.
Sparkle Jump Rope Queen. Sparkle
when I found Queen. Sparkle Jump Rope Queen, I was like, that was the name of my band on my childhood block. It was Sparkle Band Rock.
That was my AIM handle,
my third grade band that we played on Home Depot buckets and tissue box guitars. That was Sparkle Band Rock. She was literally like, what, 27? Sparkle Jump Rope Queen.
Wait, are you being serious? I thought you were joking. That really Sparkle Band Rock.
No, that was really my third grade band, Sparkle Band Rock.
Really?
So funny.
So you've had some sort of emotional connection to her for quite some time, actually.
Clearly, it's a lifelong thing, and her life has been very interesting.
On. I'm so sorry. I love you. Love that you're bringing this very long. So basically what you're telling me, though, is that she goes to Miami. She basically pulls a Hilaria Baldwin and is like, I love Spain. She's like, I love the Spanish language, and I should definitely be called Lana Del Rey.
Yes, and the Del Rey comes from a Brazilian truck. That's where the Del Rey comes from.
Stop. She also, I think, like, it's funny because her commercial success isn't even really that big, in my opinion, in the sense of, like, she only had a couple songs that have, like, been on the radio.
I happen to agree with you, but I was looking at some of the lists. She's on a lot of like Billboard-y kind of lists,
of
things. Her streams are really, really high. So I personally don't find her to be commercially appealing. I think she really attracts a certain subsect of girls, like very terminally online women like myself.
Terminally online women.
But I think that's her appeal. But honestly, there are a lot of terminally online women. I think that is who she's making aesthetic music for. That's what I would categorize as like aesthetic music.
I say that to mean, like, I remember, like, Summertime Sadness was her big song. That was, like, on, and that was, like, probably, what, 2013, 14, probably, maybe 15. And that was, like,
she'd
a big
already,
song.
Like...
But, like, other than that, like, she didn't have a lot of big, like, there's not a lot of her songs that I, like, know all the words to.
I agree, like, hearing it
in a grocery store. Do you know what I'm saying?
No one is playing Lana Del Rey in the proto style. Nobody's doing that.
No.
They're not like, this is fresh. Lana.
Yeah.
They're not doing that.
I don't know when she, you know, was birthed into pop culture, but my very first and very distinctly clear recollection is when she was on Saturday Night Live. And I just remember there being a buzz the 3 days before she was going to be on. And it has happened many times where whoever's going to be on SNL is someone I haven't heard of before. Of those times, I would say 90% I end up liking whoever they were and or subsequently becoming like a casual fan or at least knowing who they were. And Lana Del Rey was, I mean, you know, the reports are the reviews are like the best you find is blah and the worst is like an unmitigated disaster. But it was like a historically horrible music performance on Saturday Night Live. And I'm quoting the internet. The appearance was trashed by music fans, bloggers, and even NBC news anchor Brian Williams, who, in a leaked email to Gawker's chief, called it, quote, one of the worst outings in SNL history.
Okay, to quote Chris, slam.
Yeah. Also, you know, Brian Williams, who I believe lost his job because he claimed that he single-handedly
like saved
the Berlin Wall. Yeah, it was all him. So
are men okay?
We'll take that review with a grain. Take it with a grain or two.
Yeah, like he had bigger fish to fry, which is like trying to get into a helicopter to pretend like he was like in that one helicopter that he said.
Because he's protecting us all. He's protecting us all.
Thank you for your service, Brian. Wow. Yeah.
She sort of entered pop culture for me, at least then, as maybe not an anti-hero, but just as like someone who was like, how did you get so popular if you're so clearly not good? Well, and a few weeks later, SNL had Kristen Wiig dress up as Lana Del Rey and appear
and, like,
because
defend,
so many viewers
and, like, defend
complained.
Her. Yeah, they like, defended her and was like, they basically were like, we're not like the Grammys, like, let her fucking perform. Like, what the fuck? I vividly remember her, Kristen Wiig, coming on as her. And, like, being like, hi, it's me. And it was like, and it's like, it hasn't been since, like, Ashley Simpson that someone was so, like, reviled.
I remember from SNL the big thing being the Lana spin meme. When there was, like, there's that video of her just, like, doing that little strange walkabout.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yes.
I don't think I ever would have thought of that again for the rest of my life had you not brought it up here. But
I cannot long division, but that is in my brain. So just let you know where like the priorities are for me. But it was similar to what you're saying about Ashley Simpson. People were like really replaying the image of her doing that awful
jig. Rodeo dance. Yeah, like, yeah, jig was a perfect word. Yeah.
The jig from Ashley Simpson and like the spin from Lana. So like that was my big takeaway from that moment. She sucked. But listen, sometimes people bomb. But I also feel like she is someone who has been reviled in the industry for a long time. And I think a lot of people think she's like an industry plant. That's the feeling that I get.
Where
about
does that
her.
Come from since you've done all the. Is her dad a music producer or
I
something?
I was dying to know. I was so ready to be like Lana Del Rey, Nepo baby. I was ready to do it. But it's not the case. Her dad's a copywriter, her mom's a teacher. They moved from Manhattan to Lake Placid. Like nothing sexy or juicy
Jesus
there.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
So literally nothing going on. But a lot of people think she's an industry plant. I'm not sure why. And I think as a result of that, that stigma for whatever reason, people are like, she's not authentic. You know, this is a put on. And I'm like, well, she's not authentic. Her name is Elizabeth. And now she's Lana Del Rey.
I mean, I wonder what the trajectory would have been had she like been A++ that night on SNL. Like, what would it have been?
I don't know. I guess, like, I wonder if it would have endeared people more to her. I also wonder why in general there's so much hatred for her. Even myself, I just think it's been a lot of very public missteps that have led to negative public perception. That's right. My feeling, which is not undeserved, I don't think.
When it seems like she keeps being like you say, a culture vulture in the sense of like her being like, oh, I'm going to like dress up like a gangster, like someone that was in prison. And everyone's like, please don't do this. Like, it's very offensive. Like, please stop. And she's like, what? And then like, she's like, I'm going to like be Spanish now. And then they're like, please don't do this. It's very offensive. Like, please stop. And then she's like, huh? And then she's like, now I'm going to talk about chemtrails and like conspiracy theories in my music. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like whatever the thing is that's like the hot button issue to like not do, she's just like diving right into it.
She's an edgelord, a pure edgelord.
Did she try to be a real like pop star and it didn't work? And now she knows that she can get press if she does things like this or do things like work at the Waffle House.
I personally don't think she was ever a true pop star. Because when you think of pop star, who do you think of? Madonna, Britney, Gaga, Rihanna. Those are people who have had consistent mainstream hits,
success.
I'm never here to besmirch the name of any of those fine women, but for her, I think it's been a little bit of a different alternative pathway to stardom. Yeah,
you can say that again. It's definitely
alternative pathways to stardom. It's like fake news but for pop stars. And I just feel that because she has been so, I won't call her indie because she is on major labels, but she's just had an appeal to a very specific, whoever was very into the movie Maleficent and who likes Lana Del Rey, that Venn diagram is a circle, okay? Like for the gothy, edgy girls. Oh my God. And then she did the song.
There's one only Wednesday Addams lies in that small arena. That's who you've just described.
The tiniest of arenas.
I want to say something positive about her. I'm a consistent fan of the eye makeup. I love it. I love her face. She's really beautiful. Really beautiful.
Okay, you know how Leanna was in the opposite camp of us for the Barbie movie? Like that, I'm in the opposite camp of her face.
Do you think that she's unattractive physically?
It's not even that. It's like I've never seen so much work done on a person that's so young.
Slam.
No, like, and I know that I'm not supposed to do this, but it's just like there's parts of me that start to go like, is there an addiction to plastic surgery that's happening? Like, do you know what
she's
I'm saying?
She's rested, Chris. She's rested.
But like,
I don't know. I mean, it could very well be. I know. I would be curious to do like a little deep dive and see
into her face.
I will say any person in the public eye probably looks very different start to finish. I'll say.
Okay. Yeah.
Even Lady Gaga. No, Lady correct. Gaga does not look like herself anymore.
It's not, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying change over time. I am saying like amount of obvious work where your face looks like a plastic surgeon went ape shit on it.
Like that very plasticky look.
I'm talking like plasticky look. Like it's like not good work is what I'm saying.
I'm Googling
not the shoddy work.
I mean, I was already Googling her. Now I want Lana Del Rey today. I want to look at,
Google,
live stream of her
Google
face right
the
now.
Waffle House pictures because that's
what we have to talk about.
Couldn't
right?
be yes. less now. So,
chemtrails over the Waffle House, baby. Let's get into it.
Should I just title this episode?
Wait, I have an alternate. Born to Fry.
Every piece of her face has like been redone by a plastic surgeon. If that is not true, she looks like that.
I personally think she looks, I happen to like her look overall. I see what you mean. I also find people who are in the public eye have a tendency to look what I will call overfilled. I just feel like it looks sometimes a little shiny and glossy when there's too much filler going on. But I do think she does encapsulate that 1950s, wistful, mysterious, kind of film noir beauty with like the big body wave and her full lips. I think there's something very beautiful and fleeting about her, which I think is why she has captured this certain sect of people online in the alternative community. I think that really is a big piece of it, especially some people call her music dream pop. And I think that's perfect because it's so cinematic when her stuff is produced. There's a lot of strings. It's a lot of like, oh, did I just walk into like a dream cloud? That's how I feel when I listen to some of her tracks.
Yeah. For me, the genre dream pop should probably be renamed snooze button. That is what the music sounds like.
The question is, will you still love her when she's no longer young and beautiful? That is her, another one of her hits.
No, people who aren't young and beautiful.
You just said, no, I'm fucking dead.
No, we're like, people who are not young and beautiful are not loved. Welcome to planet Earth in 2023, period.
This is right along the lines with Dominic's like rule of like, if you're really hot, like you can just do whatever you want. And like, no, one can
there
stop
are no
you.
Excuses for hot people to be unhappy. No excuses.
I've been dying to be a hot, happy person. Dying.
Yeah. I mean, we all will be after we're dead. We have the choice, but you know, for now, if there's a hot person who's like, woe is me, I'm like, no.
No. I happen to think she looks good. I'm happy to put a pin in that, though. But I do think she looks all right.
Well, speaking of how she looks, let's talk about why we're here. So she, out of nowhere, so on someone's random like TikTok / the internet starts to go ablaze with pictures of people taking selfies with Lana Del Rey, who's wearing a Waffle House uniform and is clitorally working at the Waffle House.
Like literally doing poor people cosplay in front of our very eyes.
Right. Actually, Anna called poor people cosplay that made me almost drown in a pool whenever she said it. What's happening? Why is she doing this?
I have some theories. So someone. So again, I have been in the trenches for y'all. Okay, I've been deep in the old
and
subreddit.
Lana Del Rey
subreddit. I've been there. I'm doing the work. My boots are muddy.
You're doing the
Morale
Lord's work.
Morale is low.
You're doing, the Lord's work.
So people are thinking that she may be on the verge of re-releasing some work under the Lizzie Grant and the Phenomena name.
For what reason?
I cannot even tell you. But so the girlies on the Lana Del Rey subreddit are saying that these people are mentally ill, keep in mind, that they have been noticing their favorite videos that don't have like the no attribution to Lana, like all of the Mae Jailer stuff, the Lizzie stuff. It's all getting pulled off YouTube left and right. And when she was performing as these two personas, it was much more about she has lived in a trailer park. So she is, you know, aware of what it is like to be someone who is, you know, downtrodden and on the skids a little bit.
Okay.
So people are thinking that this is a little bit of a PR stunt to allude to the fact that she's going back to a grittier musical era or a less produced musical era. And she may be re-releasing music from this era, which I say, girl, do less. Just release the music. There's no need for you to put on the little apron. But maybe her shitty publicist was like, hey, girl, I have a crazy idea that's going to let you do that 70s Americana shtick that you really, really love. Are you ready? Waffle House.
This is her. This is pure her. I don't believe this is a publicist.
Yeah, but honestly, she doesn't even need to promote anything because now she's in the cycle. I mean, the moment she just turns up at a Waffle House, I mean, look at us. We're like two faggots. We couldn't grab our microphone soon enough. We're just like, her face. She's getting more. She's going to get two. How many people listen to our podcast? 4 million. She's going to get 4 million free advertising to 4 million people.
And
Come on.
I texted you like Lana Del Rey and you were like, got it. Like it wasn't, we didn't even have a conversation about it. Like it was just like Lana Del Rey.
Cause it was literally 5 minutes after they were just like, oh, Lana Del Rey is waiting tables at a Waffle House, Alabama. We were just like, done.
Okay. So here's some interesting.
Leah Michelle will deal
about.
With you another time. We have pressing business, bitch. Yes.
Okay, here's some things to think about. Norman fucking Rockwell toured in 2019. So that's like a little bit ago. That was a decent album. I actually like that one. And then there's now a promotional tour for Did You Know That There's a Tunnel Under the Ocean Boulevard? Or there's a tunnel of the little. Did You Know That There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard? It's on promotional tour right now. So my thought is...
Wait, so she's on tour right now? That's what you're telling me?
I think she might be on tour.
So in the middle of a tour, she's like, I want to go to Waffle House and pretend like I work there.
I think that is exactly what's happening. So unhinged.
All I can think about right now is how fucking much I hate the name of that stupid long-titled album. Like, I hate her based on that.
It's giving Panic at the Disco. What
Fiona Apple
here?
Did that it's when giving, Lana Del Rey was giving, like 2 years old. Enough. We get it.
It is giving Panic at the Disco.
I hate it. Just give me, like, Lana, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Born to Fry.
Call it Waffle House. Who gives a shit?
Just call that, it. Waffle House.
Yeah. Chemtrails over the Waffle House.
Chemtrails, Waffle House and Trap House, because like some of her albums have trap music on it. That always threw me for a loop. I'm like, Lana, we're really taking some
liberties. Yeah.
Okay, but they're saying it is in contrast with her traditional approach found in her other work. And she said the album was totally effortless.
What does that
mean? So was her performance on SNL. So
period. Slam.
She's just giving the people what they want for 11 years.
Yeah, zero effort was put in.
There are song lyrics on the new album that contain the lyrics, I took a train to Spain, just a notebook in my hand. Then I went to see some friends of mine down in Florence, Alabama. So some people are saying that
she's like
her
going
appearance
to the
was connected to the
got it.
The lyrics in this song. I guess the name of the song is Paris, Texas.
She's
so,
giving us
just
big
so many geographies.
Right, it's giving Paris, big Swift.
Oh, so she's writing about. Oh God, this is even worse than I thought it was.
It is. Of course it is.
She's like showing it's up in precious. The towns that she's writing about in her music.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm back to thinking the publicist is a piece of shit again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If the publicist fucking knew what she was doing, there would be like, you know, brand deals. She'd be on like a commercial on Peacock right now, like at Waffle House, like singing her song.
Doing her little turnaround.
Yeah, doing her turnaround.
There is no publicist.
Are you looking? Are you looking?
No, there can't be.
I don't want to know that there is one. Because I want to be right.
I
don't do research because I just want to claim authority.
No, but guys, like, if there was a publicist, like, we would know all the information from the articles. Like, the reason you hire a publicist is so that when you do something like this, they then go to CNN and say, hi, when you write this article, like, make sure you say this, this, and this. Please. Thank you. Guys, is this just one humongous conspiracy theory? Like, what's happening?
I think it actually is.
No, like, what she's done is she walked into a Waffle House, put on a waitress uniform, stayed there for an hour, and is now getting hundreds of thousands of hours of free press for her brand. Yeah, we fell right into it.
You're right.
Kudos. I'm struggling to fix this bitch. I'm telling you, because she just played this whole podcast. So
no, you're right. Dominic, you're so right. Fuck.
Dom, we were hoodwinked.
Well, we were. We were.
But I think the real kicker about Lana is that she, despite her SNL performance, she's vocally accomplished. She has a 3-octave range. She's a contralto. She does have the vocal chops, and she has a very unique sounding voice. Please do not crucify for me what I'm about to say, but in certain instances, her voice gives me like Cher resonance, because Cher has that very deep voice. Adami, your face looked like you're going
shut
to absolutely
podcast
kill
off.
Me.
Everyone shut their fucking iPods off.
All
if you are in a car listening to this, I want you to steer it off of the fucking cliff. I want you to burn in Leanna and Zerillo's name.
I'm so sorry. I knew it was going to hurt feelings.
How dare you?
But I think they're not similar, but I'm saying there's a similar resonance in that very seldom do you get a deep-voiced woman that gets a lot of press and a lot of push. Yeah, it's unusual. Yeah,
yeah. Interesting fact, Lana Del Rey, also 77 years old.
But no, I get what you're – but, like, I think what Leanna's trying to say is that, like, she has a lot of actual talent and potential that, like
– sure.
It's not
– and she's just not needing it.
She's just pouring coffee at the Waffle House.
She might be over it. You know, she might just be post-famous. She might have been born post-famous. She might have had – you know, after the SNL thing, maybe she was giving it her all in 2012 and the world turned on her and she's probably like, fuck this, fuck you, I'm going to stay famous and I'm going to like fart on the Pope or wait tables at Waffle House. Ooh, farting on the Pope would have been a good fix. I might say
But
just whatever. And she was probably just like, I'm good at what I do. I like what I do. I'm going to release these albums, like it or not. And I'm just going to keep being Lana Del Rey. She doesn't seem to give a shit, which normally find that attractive.
I don't give a shitness of it. You're jogging my memory a little bit because I think before this, she wore a mask to an event. And this is, keep in mind, it's 2020. It's the height of COVID. People are like croaking left and right and kind of still are in some parts of the world right now. She wore a mask to an event that was
It was
a see-through diamond, gauze.
It wasn't a mask.
Yes.
So I think she caught a lot of shit for that. Yeah. And then was like, actually, I'm not wrong about anything. It's other people that are the problem. Right. And usually I admire that Mariah Carey level of no personal responsibility.
Yeah.
But people were dying, Lana. Like, pull it together.
Pull it together.
Boo, but that's like how then she went into chemtrails over the country club or whatever. It's like, right, then she was like COVID, like, you know what I mean? It was like her little thing of being like, you know, I'm like anti-mask kind of like thing.
And right,
then
and she was like, dating a cop at the time. I was like, couldn't be me, girl.
And then she like leaned into, but then she like leaned into the like conspiracy theory, like, fandom, you know what I mean?
Which is so interesting because with white ladies in particular, and I am a white person, but like with white ladies in particular, there is a very much like, oh, into like something for the aesthetic to right wing conspiracy bizarro pipeline. And I think that, I think maybe like that brand of terminally online lady might have been evolving into that. And she, and I think because she is more calculated than we maybe gave her credit for, she was leaning into that heavily.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems because I only know a handful of true Lana Del Rey fans. I'm also in my late 70s, so I probably wouldn't associate with someone who is, but
stop
I mean,
it now.
Even just like in the, you know, in our little pop culture bubble, I know that everyone knows her, but I only know a handful of people that are obsessed with her.
Well, I mean, we could go round and round and around in a QAnon spin forever, but about Lana Del Rey and if she is fooling us or not about this Waffle House thing, which I do think that she is now. Now I'm back on the like conspiracy theory train that she like is a mastermind. I think we have to fix her. I mean, that's the part of this podcast that.
Yep.
Lana Del Rey, a.k.a. Lana Del Poop, a.k.a. what is her real name?
Elizabeth Woolridge Grant.
Yes. What I want Lana to do is she is going to secretly book like a Taylor Swift Eras stadium tour, but no one knows. But this is the thing. No one knows that it's happening and it's not $0. No. Okay.
I'm shook.
Wait, I'm going back on it. You pay when you get there. Like it's $25 to get in the door. It's $25 to get in the door, okay? And this is what's hysterical. This is what's gonna happen. She is going, now that she was at Waffle House and she was like fucking wherever, like pouring coffee for no reason at all and like being a freak, she's gonna just show up to like Waffle House-esque places. Like obviously it will be like, you know, they'll have it planned out in the future, but like she will just be running the McDonald's drive-thru for an hour. And that McDonald's drive-thru is gonna be near a stadium that she is then going to be like, basically is just going to be running the drive-thru. And then an hour later, she just leaves and goes to the stadium tour. And by people seeing that she's like running the McDonald's drive-thru or is like a waitress at Cracker Barrel or is handing out orders at Wendy's or being the person on roller skates at Sonic. You know what I mean? Like as she's doing all these like, what did you call poor person cosplay? Like,
yes, poor person cosplay.
Like roles. It's like then a hint and then social media explodes when they see a video of Lana Del Rey like skating out to give you like a cherry, what was it? Like a Route 66 cola or whatever they get it at Sonic. And then like, you know that whatever stadium is like right near that Sonic is where she's going to be playing in like an hour and a half. And
this
so
is
then
so elaborate.
It's absolute pandemonium and cars just like line up and you basically just like pay $25 to go into her show or like Garth Brooks does, like every person pays $60. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it doesn't matter if you're, so it combats the Taylor Swift, like I don't have $1,500 to like be in like level 85,000, like Mars level to like watch Taylor Swift. It's like everyone pays $60 and you're just like have to be there ready to go. And like be watching social media for when she's in your town.
And I live.
And you just beeline to the stadium and then you walk in and she's literally just like, clitorally, excuse me.
Clitorally.
Like and the video games. Like, yeah, and you're just like,
it gives the worst concert you've ever shower, seen.
Right? Yeah, gives the worst concert you've ever seen. But also, never forget that there's that video of like her singing on the stage, and then that one person's just being carried out because they fainted. Have you ever seen that video?
The only way I think that could be better, Chris, if it was pay what you wish.
And it's like to her like Cash App account. Like right. It's like her Cash App. Like it's like that's like the other part of it. Is you're just like, it's not even Venmo because that's like too highbrow for her. It's like you're sending like your cat her money on Cash App.
I literally am dead at the thought of pay what you wish, like Lana Del Rey Sunday.
Like she's
it's
a museum.
Right. Oh my God.
All right. That's your pitch?
That's my
iconic
pitch.
Fix.
Okay. Christopher.
I'm so nervous.
I have been accused validating your pitches, and for many weeks I have not.
I want you to do it.
I want this is a serious podcast and I want it to be taken seriously and I want the pitches to be evaluated seriously. What you have pitched will result in the deaths of thousands of children.
I know. That was the thing I was thinking. Like, is
you were literally like she would
love that. Like, that's
you're trying to remove her fan. You're trying to remove her subreddit base from the planet by doing
you're
this.
You would
idea.
Stop 96ing.
You are really, but with more death. Yeah, no fire, just trample deaths. So I rebuke your idea, both in spirit. Well, no, just that's in. It's a two-spirit idea, so I rebuke them in both spirits. That's what I'm doing.
I rebuke thee, Satan.
My idea, you know, Lana Del Rey is sub. I always want someone to lean into being more ridiculous, especially if they already are ridiculous, because there are some people who have been so ridiculous that all they can do is make it worse. Like, it's not about redemption for her. She's already done many ridiculous things. She's already been a waitress at Waffle House. So correcting that, I don't think is going to be possible. So what I want her to do simply is to file paperwork to be... You don't know what I'm going to say.
Leanna's already filing the paperwork. Leanna started. Wait, Leanna, I didn't even say anything, and Leanna started click clacking the keys to like open up a document to just be ready to do.
Opening
so.
Up a bank account. She doesn't know what the paperwork is for. Maybe I'm having her apply for citizenship in Finland. You have no idea.
You got to get ready, so you have to. You got to stay ready, so you have to get ready. So
okay.
Dominic. I think that she should. I think she should be a third party candidate for vice president for the United States of America. I think that she should be Cornel West's VP.
I have truly no words.
No one dies. You're not going to have to hear her bullshit for at least a year because she'll be on the campaign trail. I'm sure she'll show up to events nude or with a tit hanging out or I don't know, with a crooked wig. Like this, you put her on the world stage. She's been begging for it for such a long time. Up her profile. Let's see what she's made of, for God's sakes. Let's just do it. Just do it. Give her what she wants. She's already punked us by having us do this podcast about her. Give her what she wants. A power on the world stage.
Dominic, that I'm letting it wash all over me and like imagine
bathe in it.
Imagine Lana Del Rey and Marianne Williamson like being in the same room together. Having to
the way they would have my vote so fast. They would have my vote so fucking fast.
Well, here's an even better question. Has anyone ever seen them in the same room together?
I hate you so much.
I love you so much. And the answer is no.
It is now your turn to, you may give us feedback. You can talk about what you're thinking. You are having to now pick between myself or Dominic's bitches.
God, what, like, and what a choice to make. Two beautiful models stand before me.
You can verbalize.
Pause
you can,
here. Yeah, you I'm can trying. Verbalize. I know, because like pregnant pause on podcast doesn't really translate. But yeah. I have to say, I really love Lana for vice president. I think this country's going to hell anyway. I say, you know, why not throw the baby out with the bathwater on this one? Could you imagine her being like,
hot summer nights under the flag.
Like, I could really see her
instead of
like,
the national anthem. That would be the new national anthem.
Like, she would be singing,
"He's my Yankee Doodle Dandy," like something, right? Like, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And American. instead of putting her hand on a Bible, she just gets choked by Marilyn Manson on the stage. That's her swearing in.
Oh my God. Right?
It's a whole new era for us.
It's a feast for the eyes and the ears. I think I have Lana's campaign slogan.
Yes.
Lana for Americana.
Oh.
I think she's really going to run the mile
with
that.
Regardless of if she does do this or not, like, she should 100% on her website have a button that's like a campaign button that's just a picture.
A campaign button. Campaigns under the chemtrails. Yeah. I don't know. There's so much we could do.
Chemtrails and campaign trails.
I will bet you $1,000 that the name, that not only will she listen to this podcast, but that her next album will be called Lana Americana.
Lana Americana.
I do think
I'll die. I will die. All right. Oh, so Dominic wins.
The elegant solution and the only solution is that she must run for vice president of this great nation.
She has no other choice. Come off tour and do that.
I salute you.
Thank you.
And then, like,
I have my hand in my heart as I'm saying that. I really do.
Like, the bald eagle cries out over, like, the visage of Lana Del Rey carved into that statue in North Dakota.
I love this country, and I would not suggest that if I didn't believe in the idea. Please, Lana.
I'm a patriot at heart. Oh,
my God. Well, we did it. Leanna, where can people find you?
Where can people find me? I have nothing to plug. I am like not a SoundCloud rapper. I'm not a comedian. I am not in show business, but I have two semi-famous internet birds. So if you want to check out my strange little parakeets, Pinto and Peanut, we have 7,000 followers on Instagram. I know it's a big deal. We're looking for the brand deals. We're ready to go, but you can find us at the Pintogram.
You bring this up at the very end. You bring this up. We're about to locate Shelly, and you literally are just like, I'm going to say something 10 times more interesting than Lana Del Rey. I have
Is it
to
really
go
10 times more.
Yes. Who gives a shit about Lana Del Rey? I want to hear about these fucking birds. I'm going now. I'm going I'm going to Instagram right now.
Very quickly, Dominic, know that in their home, her and her husband both put one of them on their shoulders and walk around the house the entire time.
Of course.
And the birds fight. It's
amazing.
They
have a palatial estate, they have their own room.
I'm surprised we haven't heard them on the podcast at all.
I was nervous because Peanut was popping off outside. I was like, shut that fucking bird up. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. I love him.
Frickazine, like, bitch.
He's like, I'm on, Mom.
Okay,
I'm on.
So follow the Pintogram. Dominic, where can people find you?
You can find me at my website, Dominterry.com, where you'll be linked to all my socials at Dominic Pupa. And watch that space because I'll be announcing the dates and cities for my holiday shows anytime now. There's no joke there.
Christmas just came early for me.
Anytime. Christopher DeRosa, where can the people find you for more of you?
You can find me at the Chris DeRosa. You can find the show at Fixing Famous People. Please leave a review and let us know who you want us to fix next. I wish you both well, and let's all say it together. 1, 2, 3.
Where's Shelly?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.